So we've come to the end. The solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. It's a nice ring to it. Today is the end, though. It's the culmination of the liturgical year. Which, what does that term even mean? What the heck does that mean, liturgical year? You've heard it used before. But the whole events of salvation history, they're not just in the dead past, something we remember. But there's something alive now that the church lives every year. And that as you enter into it, it's lived in your life as well. Where next week we begin in Advent and enter into the thousands of years of longing with Israel for a Savior. And then the joy in which he's born in Christmas. And then soon after we go into Lent, in which we enter into Jesus, enter in with Jesus into the desert, where we fight temptation and even Satan himself, and then enter in Holy Week into his passion, his death, and we rise with him. And then Ascension and Pentecost, where we're given the Great Commission, go out and bring the gospel to the whole world. But in order to do that, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. And then after that is the ordinary time in which we've been living in these last months, which is the time we live in now. After Pentecost, when the church is born, until the second coming of Jesus, is this ordinary time. It's the time in which we're called to live all these mysteries and go deeper into them. And it all culminates, it all leads up to today, which is the end. So the whole month of November, right? We remember those who have died. We remember our own death. That everything leads up to that moment. And today is the final day. It's the feast of Christ the King. And it's the question at the end of our life, which we have to answer before Christ the King, whom have you chosen to serve? Whom have you chosen to serve? Remembering that our actions speak louder than our words. But the answer of that question is the difference between heaven and hell. John Milton, in his great poem, Paradise Lost, there's this chilling line in which Satan, at the end, is giving a toast. And he says that it's better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. It's better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. This from the mouth of a liar. Because you don't reign at all, you're a slave instead of a son or daughter. The greatest coach I ever had before a big game, he wouldn't give a big rah-rah speech. We wouldn't dive into the game plan itself, but instead, he would just very simply say, "This is what lies before us. The difference between victory and defeat." And so on this last day, what's the difference between victory and defeat? In the gospel, Jesus stands before Pilate, and Pilate is trying to offer him a way out. He doesn't understand Jesus, but he knows he's not guilty of something, and so he's trying to offer him a way out. And he asks him, "Are you a king? My kingdom is not of this world." But rather, Jesus said, "I came to testify to the truth. And all who belong to the truth listen to his voice." To which right after this, we remember Pilate asked the famous question, "What is truth?" Do you know the telltale sign of someone or a culture that's living according to lies instead of the truth? You know the telltale sign of it? Is you begin to see people who are literally losing their minds. When you have a culture or even a person who's living and listening to lies because we were created for truth, they'll slowly begin to lose their mind. Look around in the world. You see things happening and you're like, these people are losing their minds. This isn't just in the world either. There are Christians who are losing their minds because they're living not according to the truth, but according to lies. And Christians, we can fall into a particularly pernicious lie, a really awful one, in which we think and believe falsely that we're playing the same game as the world. That the game that the world is playing and the game that we're playing is the same one, but it's not. Pilate doesn't understand Jesus. He's speaking about a kingdom, but Jesus is talking about something entirely different. Entirely different. We're not playing the same game as the world. The battlefield, where the battle takes place, that is the same. That battlefield is your soul. And it's fought for your soul. But in order to be playing the same game, victory and defeat have to mean the same thing to both. But they don't. Here's what lies before us, the difference between victory and defeat. Defeat for the world is the cross. Because when the world sees the cross and when it sees crosses in their life, what it sees is humiliation, it sees suffering, it sees death. Are those things there in the cross? Yes, they're there. But the problem is, that's all that the world sees. There's much more than just that on the cross. And a lie is when you take something that's partially true and you make it the whole truth. And so the world sees the cross and it sees when it has crosses in its own lives and it just sees humiliation, it sees suffering, it sees death. And the game for the world is to try and avoid the cross and the crosses in your life at all costs. And the great lie that the King of Lies tells us is he offers us a way out of it. He offers us a way out of it. That you can be in control. You can reign. But of course, it's a lie. And the world uses the cross then, because it's the great place of fear, it uses it as intimidation. You know, the Roman Empire, the roads leading into Rome is where they would have the crucifixions. They would have lined up sometimes dozens of people being crucified on the roads into Rome because they wanted to send a very clear message. If you cross our power, if you try to cross us, this is what's going to happen to you. That the cross was an intimidation tactic. Victory for the Christian, though, victory for the Christian is the cross. Because when we see the cross, as faith always does, it sees something more that's there. That yes, there's humiliation, there's suffering, and there's death. But there's also, within the cross, the greatest power in the universe. A power over death. That the cross is a place of the greatest love in the universe. It's a place of love. That the cross is the truth. And it's a place of victory. So the game that the Christian plays is to take the crosses in your life and to bring them to Jesus and to be united with his own. That we're invited to share in that throne. To unite our lives, all of it, to Jesus on the cross. And if you belong to Jesus, if your whole life does, you have absolutely nothing to fear. There's no room, there's no reason for fear. You know, the earliest Christians, they're the accounts, because there were sporadic persecutions and they would have, where Christians would be martyred. There are accounts where there was a place in which they'd be martyred and other Christians would come hearing about this and they would come and say, I'm a Christian too. And the executors would be like, what's wrong with these people? They didn't understand them. Do they not see what's going to happen? No, they saw, but they saw more. And they weren't intimidated by the cross. And this faith of the Christians intimidated the world because they were free. What can you do to a woman or a man who's not afraid of death? The world has no control over it. And the world and the king of lies hates what it can't control. Our faith is one of power. The Christian is not a doormat. Christianity is not a walk all over me faith. It has been from the very beginning a fighting religion. We fight hell, but we fight it different than the world. We fight with the power of the cross. And so the battles in this world, the Christian isn't afraid to engage in them. We do, and we're called to. But we do with a power that the world doesn't have. Because with the power of the truth, we can keep from losing our minds. And with the power of charity, the power of love from the cross, we keep from losing our souls. Because without both of those, the power of truth and the power of charity, you can win the world and lose your soul. You can win every good battle in this world and still lose your soul. And Jesus warned his disciples about that again and again. The game we play is always won upon the cross. It's the throne of our King. And so on this last day of the liturgical year, we're asked a question. Will you share in the victory of the cross? Meaning, does Christ reign as King over every aspect of your life? All of it. Does he have dominion over your entire life or just part of it? Whom will you serve? The King of lies who promises falsely to remove all the crosses in your life? Or the one who came to testify to the truth and whose victory was won upon the cross and who invites us to share in that victory as we come and we worship him here?